speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
It is Mother's Day, and I trust that our mothers especially have not overlooked that, and I hope and pray that your families have not overlooked that too. Happy Mother's Day. At East End, we have been truly blessed through the years with some beautiful and amazing mothers. There are some mothers that Dawn and I have had the privilege of meeting that have passed on. And in that, we know that those mothers have touched your lives in so many wonderful ways. And there are mothers that we have not had that privilege and opportunity to meet that passed on before we got here. Yet at the same time, many of you have been able to share stories, your heartfelt, loving stories in regard to your family, in regard to your family, your mothers, and we feel in a way as if we've come to know them through you, and we know that your life has been blessed because of your mothers. To our mothers who are here today, we want you to know how much we love you, how much we appreciate you, and how important you are, not only to your family, but how important you are to us here at East End as a body of the Lord's church. To your families, today is a day that as a nation, we honor our mothers. But I want to encourage each and every one of us to make certain that our mothers know how much we love them, even beyond this day. And that we honor our mothers in such a way, not only this day, but every opportunity that we have, so that they will know most certainly how much we love them. They are a blessing to our lives, and let's work diligently in our life to make certain that we are a blessing unto our mothers. Today, being Mother's Day, I want us to focus upon a lesson about a mother, about a woman from the Old Testament Scripture, and some ways in which we're able to see the negative aspects of her life, and to warn us not to go according to those ways, but also to identify some very positive things about this woman that the Bible identifies as Sarah. Good people, as we think in regard to Sarah, first I want us to understand that she serves as an amazing biblical example to mothers today. There are indeed some amazing women of the Bible. In fact, we understand, as is beginning there in Genesis chapter 2, verses 20, through Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14, a woman that we have called Eve, and she is literally the first lady. We call the president's wife the first lady. Well, this is the first lady in a very literal sense. And in regard to this woman, we understand is that she was a very special lady in the fact that she became the mother of all living. We also understand from the Scripture a woman who is called Hannah. And Hannah desired for a child. And in her desire to have a child, she was devoted to God. And she turned to God in prayer that God, if God would bless her with a child, that then she would give that child in her devotion to a devoted life unto our God. And most certainly she did. One that is certainly spoken of time and again is Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And in this, we understand concerning this woman is that she was morally pure. And I believe that in part that that is why God used her and chose her to bring Jesus Christ into the world. She was the mother of Jesus, the Savior of the world. Our Lord and Savior came from this amazing woman. Good people, when we think about the Bible, every aspect of the Bible is very important to us. In the New Testament Scripture, it is God's message and plan of redemption for mankind. As we look to the Mosaic Age, it is prophetic messages pointing to the time of the Messianic Age when Jesus Christ would come into the world. As you look back all the way to the very beginning, which is what we would call today the Patriarchal Age, it has universal and Jewish beginnings, pointing up to some things that are foundation for you and me today. And as we look to the things that are stated in the Old and New Testament Scripture, there are places that are important to us, there are events that are crucial for our understanding, but also there are so many people that are discussed time and again that lay a foundation for us. And good people, Sarah is one of those individuals. Sarah is a very great and prominent lady of the Old Testament Scripture. She was Abraham's wife, but yet at the same time she takes on a name, and that name becomes very important as we consider the woman today, as well as the examples that are still profitable for us today. She was a woman that there was a promise made not only to Abraham, but a promise that was made to her, that through her seed and through the seed of Abraham, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And also, though, today I want us to consider about what she felt whenever she gave birth unto her child, hers and Abraham's child, and that child being Isaac. What is it that God has for us concerning Sarah? Good people, I think that as you consider the Old Testament Scripture that speaks about Sarah, and then the way and the number of times that she is mentioned in the New Testament, I think that God has some very important lessons for us to learn about this amazing woman. But yet at the same time, as we begin with her today, I want us to understand that she was not perfect, and there is no perfect lady. And I hope that that does not spoil any of you to say my thoughts in regard to each of you. None of us are perfect, and Sarah certainly was not perfect. As we think in regard to this woman, she cooperated with Abraham's scheme to lie, not one time, and even not two times, even though that it is two times that is presented in Scripture. The Scripture, according to what we understand in Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, it appears as if everywhere that Abraham and Sarah went, they concocted a lie that would identify Sarah as his sister. Now, that was only a half-lie, wasn't it? She was indeed his half-sister, but yet at the same time, he wanted these individuals to think that she was not his wife. Why? Because he feared for his life. He did not want his life to be taken. Why? I think in part because of the idea and the fact that God had said that God was going to bless him and that God was going to bring forth a blessing not only to Abraham, but that through him all nations of the earth would be blessed. And I think in part, if you look to him and trying to be fair to Abraham, is that he was saying, you know, I've got to live so that God's promise concerning me will certainly be fulfilled. But yet at the same time, it does not take away from the fact that Abraham lied. And Sarah was caught up in this as they lied unto the Egyptian Pharaoh, and then later there in Gerar as they lied unto Abimelech. And what was the result of all that? Good people, the Bible identifies that there were consequences for those in Egypt and unto the Pharaoh himself because of the fact that Abraham and Sarah had lied unto them. But also the same holds true whenever you consider the context of Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. There were consequences that came upon Abimelech and the people of that area because of the lie that this man and this woman had found themselves in. And today I want to encourage our mothers not to engage in lying, but rather to make certain that you are honest, not only to your family, but in the sight of all of mankind. As we consider Sarah also, though, she made a very foolish choice that led to great regret upon her part. God had promised her and Abraham that they would have a child. And as she grew older, past her childbearing years, she began to question God's ability to fulfill His promise. She began to question whether or not God really and truly meant that through her seed that Abraham would bring forth a child into the world, and therefore she took matters into her own hands, thinking that she was going to be able to help God out. And she arranged for her handmaid, Hagar, to come in and to have a relationship with God that was not authorized. Why? Because Sarah was Abraham's wife, and it was only Sarah that Abraham was to be with from a sexual standpoint. In this, then, we understand is that Hagar bore forth a child, and that child is Ishmael. And the Scripture identifies that this individual was going to be a contention, a thorn in the flesh, if you would, unto not only Abraham and Sarah, but for the descendants of God throughout the Old Testament Scripture. And concerning what it is that Sarah did here with arranging for Abraham and Hagar to come together, the Scripture, according to what is taught in Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 6, and Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 16, identifies as that she deeply regretted what it is that she had done. And ladies, today I want to encourage you never, never arrange anything like that, but also never do things that you will come back regretting later. that you will wish that you had never done, but always make certain that you think things through and that you do things, having thought things through in a way that will be pleasing first and above all unto our God, but also that will be beneficial unto your family. Also, from a negative standpoint, we understand is that Sarah laughed in doubt at God's promise. Why did she laugh in doubt at God's promise? Well, if we understand the context of Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 17, and Genesis chapter 18, verses 12 and following, we will see that Abraham and Sarah were growing old. Sarah was 90 years of age, and Abraham was 100, and still God is saying that I'm going to bless you, that I'm going to bring a child unto this relationship. And as they looked to their growing old, Abraham first laughs, the Scripture identifies to us. But then later, Sarah follows through and laughs. Why? Not because they find it funny, but rather they find it ridiculous that God is going to bless them in their old age. Why? Because women of that age and men of that age, they just did not have children. And now they're going to be able to have a child, and they thought that it was beside God's ability. They did not think that God would follow through with it, and therefore she laughed out loud in doubt of God. And ladies, always be humble in the sight of God and realize that God is working in your lives to bring forth blessings, and never doubt Him and certainly never laugh at God. Why? Because God identifies concerning the fact that she had laughed at Him, that it despised Him, and that He looked at this in a very angry way because of their approach towards Him. But then also, as we look in regard to her mistakes, this again is connected with Hagar and the relationship that Abraham and Hagar had had in Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 21. When Sarah and Abraham do have their child, the promised child, the Scripture identifies is that Sarah is beside herself because Ishmael and Hagar are still dwelling in the land. She's having to look upon her mistake. She's having to deal with the fact that this individual is growing, Ishmael. And that in her mind, is he going to overtake the land? Is he going to fulfill the promise when in reality now God has indeed blessed me as He promised He would? And therefore she requested, and God followed through with her request, to have him sent out of the land, Ishmael and Hagar. She resented this woman. And ladies, never have resentment in your life towards anyone, your family or others. Now, on a more positive note, what do we find in regard to Sarah? Good people, we find is that she was a very loving and devoted woman towards her husband and family. This dear lady was submissive to her husband. They left Haran, and most scholars say that she was probably about 65 years of age. And in that, at the age of 65, you've got your family around you. You don't want to leave your family, or that's the way we would look at it today. She had friends, she had her home, she had her life in place, and yet Abraham, having received a message from God to go out and to go into a strange land that God would later reveal to him, to Abraham that is, and then Abraham goes and conveys that into Sarah, can you imagine how she must have felt initially? Yet at the same time, we do not see her putting up an argument. We do not see her saying, well, you go, I'm going to stay back. But rather, she went in a very submissive and humble way with her husband to go and to do what it is that God had called them to go and to do. And ladies, today, God identifies as that the husband is indeed the head of the house, and that you are to love your husband, and in your love for your husband, that you are to be submissive unto your husband. As we go forward then, in regard to what we see about Sarah and her relationship with Abraham, the Scripture says concerning her is that she was a woman who had great, deep respect for her husband, calling him Lord. That's what Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6. Why did she call him Lord? It's not because she looked at him as he was some sort of a deity, but rather it is a little L, if you would, as regard to the way in which she calls him Lord. Well, what does that mean? It means that she respected Abraham. She respected him. She was devoted to him. She honored him. and she realized that he was the authority of the house. And God says the same whenever it comes to the husband today, that he is the head of the woman. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 and following, in the context of what Paul said to the saints at Corinth, is that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the husband, the man. And the woman has the responsibility to respect that God-given role and authority, and to not only submit to the husband, but to make certain that as you deal with your husband on a daily basis, is that he understands that you realize the role that you have, and your role most certainly is important, because in so many ways you are the glue that helps hold the family together. But yet at the same time, ladies, to make certain that you honor, you respect, and you love your husband in a way that is communicated to him every single day. You know, though, too, we understand concerning Sarah is that she was, this beautiful lady, loved her family. If you go back to Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, she was so excited not only to conceive a child, but whenever that child was brought into the world, she was so thrilled to have a son, to have a baby into not only her life, but into the relationship with Abraham and Sarah. I can only imagine that she must have looked at this child the same way in which Eve did. Remember whenever she conceived and she said concerning the first child, she says, I have a gift from the Lord. A child is a gift from God. And Sarah must have looked at this child as Eve did, as a gift that was from God. And literally, we know that it was truly a gift from God, because God opened her womb at such an old age and allowed her to have a child, children, at that age. In this, not only did she love the son, but the Scripture, according to the context, reveals how much she loved her husband in the fact that she says that she has given Abraham a son. It was not only important for her to have a child, but for her to give a child unto her husband. And ladies, we want to encourage you to always love your family, your husband and your children, and all who comprise the family in a way that will let them know concerning your love for them. Sarah died with honor in the sight of God. You know, out of all the ladies mentioned in the Bible, mothers or not mothers, there's only one where that they give their age at the time of death, and that is Sarah. She died at the age of 127, and the Scripture tells us there that she died in the land of Kirjat Arba, which that is Hebron, and then she was buried, if you would, in the cave of Machpelah. And in this, we realize is that Abraham had gone to great expense for her burial, great expense as well as to make certain that as she is buried with honor. Well, what does that say in regard not only to the way in which she had dealt with her family, but the way in which her husband looked at her? Good people, her husband loved her so much that he wanted to make certain that as she has passed on, is that she is buried in a very way with dignity. As you look to the way in which she dealt with God, Sarah was a woman of faith. Sarah came to realize God's ability to see all things. In Genesis chapter 16, verses 7 through 13, she says, "You are the God who sees." She came to see that God saw the situation that was at hand there with Hagar. But as you go forward into the context of Scripture, she came to see that God was able to see what she couldn't see. Is that God was going to follow through with His plans to bring forth a blessing to her and Abraham with the child Isaac. And today God tells us that He sees everything. Everything is naked, open, revealed in the sight of God. But also she came to believe in God's amazing power. In her mind, she was saying, God, I'm 90 years of age. I'm past my childbearing abilities. But yet at the same time, she came to realize in her conception is that God is able to do things that man's not able to do. With God, all things are possible. And moms, ladies, make certain that you always put your trust and your faith in God to do far and beyond whatever it is that you think that you're not able to do, because God has the power to work amazingly in our lives. But also, Sarah came to understand God's faithfulness. She came to understand that whenever God makes a promise, that He doesn't renege on it, but rather that God is a God of faith and that God does not lie to people, but rather that God is a God of truth also. And whenever God says something, then you can trust that He's going to follow through with it. And today, certainly, we want to take and to apply that to us, to our mothers, to our ladies, and even to each and every one of us, that whenever God says something, then He's going to follow through with it and just continue to trust in Him continually. And Sarah came to be known, the Scripture tells us, as a woman of faith. There's few ladies mentioned in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Most of them are men. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter of the Bible, Sarah is right there in the midst of them and is identified as a woman of profound faith in our God. And ladies, above all, make certain that you have a faith in God. A faith in God that says, I believe in Him, and a faith in God that says, I'm going to serve Him no matter what. Mothers, make certain that you work diligently in your life to be a positive example. You are a light unto the world. As Christians, we are all. We all are. But today I'm talking to moms. Moms, make certain that you shine as a light unto the world, a positive light unto the entire world. Kevin Stafford shared a video with me this week that I'm going to give the illustration of it. It's about a German Shepherd dog that was a part of World War II, or so that's what the video says. And the dog is sent out on a bomb-sniffing mission to find out where the bombs are. And on one mission, the dog goes out and sniffing out bombs, and sure enough, it finds, yet at the same time is not able to escape itself, and the bomb goes off and blows off the hind legs of the German Shepherd. It's a female. They didn't know it at the time, but while they bring the dog back and do surgery, I assume, on the animal, they find out that she is carrying 9 pups. The pups all survive, and she gives birth to them, and they're all born normal. 4 legs. Able, I guess, to get up and to walk. The mother, though, because she does not have her hind legs, she pulls herself with her foot or her front paws, with her front legs, everywhere she goes. Guess what those 9 pups did? The same thing. They had 4 legs, but they pulled themselves because that's what they saw their mother doing. There are circumstances in life that are beyond your control, but there are things in life that you have total control of. And make certain, mothers, that you present yourself in a very positive way to understand the powerful impact that your life, your examples have upon your home and upon your children, upon your family. But also, don't get caught up in the pitfalls of life. You know, as we think about the pitfalls of life, the devil is out there everywhere, and the devil wants to see you fail, he wants to see you fall. And you need to make certain that as you go out in life, is that you keep your focus upon the positive things that are there. In fact, a negative person thinks upon their life and sees how terrible it is, but a positive person thinks about how they're able to make their life better and to avoid the pitfalls that Satan will lay before you. But also, cherish each moment that you have with your loved ones. The longer that people are married, sometimes they grow on each other and sometimes they grow away from each other. And sometimes, whenever I have opportunities to counsel with couples, it's nothing but a negative fight. And I don't see how couples can get to that point. There's a story told of a husband and wife who had gone to a grocery store. And as they are getting ready to pay at the checkout counter, their 50th anniversary is coming up. And they're talking between themselves, the husband and wife, about this great celebration. And this hit home with me because my mom and dad in August will celebrate their 50th anniversary, and we're looking forward to going and celebrating with them. But as the couple is there, and I can see my mom and dad doing this at Walmart, they're there and they're talking about their upcoming anniversary, and the cashier overhears them. And she looks to the lady and she says, "Did I hear you say that you've been married to him for 50 years?" And the older woman says, yes, with a smile on her face. And the young cashier says, I can't imagine being married to somebody, to the same man for 50 years. And the older lady looked at her and said, young lady, until you can imagine it, don't do it. Amen. Love isn't a once deal and then you fall out of love. Love is, I'm going to love you until death do us part. And mothers, love your husband in such a way each day and cherish every opportunity that you have to be with him. And let him know your love and your family know your love for your husband so that your children are trained to love their children in the same way. Love them, take advantage of the opportunities that you have before them. And above all, live your life centered in and around our God's will. Your life is very important. But you know the life that counts most is the life that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And the only way in which you're going to be able to be successful in the sight of God is if you live a life that is centered around Him. And that will not only go well with your relationship with God, but mothers, that will also go well in helping you to be successful in your quest to be loved, to be honored, and to be appreciated in the sight of your family. Well, today's lesson has been towards our mothers. At the same time, we want to extend an invitation to all who may be outside of the body of Christ to put Christ on in baptism, so that you can enter into a relationship with our God and to be counted as a child of God. If you're here and you are an erring member, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to you also to have your sins forgiven, that you might be back in a right relationship with our God. Again, to our mothers, we love each of you very much. And we want you to know that. Not only today, I hope and pray that we as a congregation will always communicate that to you. But as we close, that invitation is open to anyone who might have a need.